Good evening. The Bible reading tonight is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 21, and that's on page 1222 in the Blue Church Bibles. Page 1222, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would speak to us this evening from your word, and that what you say to us would cause us great joy, and that we'd remember it, and that we'd believe it. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Amen. Well, I still remember May 1996 with a shiver. I was rudely awakened at about 9:30 one morning by my mother, who came in saying, "The school has just called, and your A-level maths exam has started." In an unfortunate turn of events, I'd got my A-level exam dates mixed up, and the exam that I thought was in a week's time was in fact starting that day. It was made even more unfortunate because the exam lasted about 2.5 hours. I was still in bed, and I lived half an hour drive away from school. Needless to say, my lateness, coupled with my lack of revision, meant I didn't do very well in that exam. To make things worse, which seems scarcely possible, the following week was Groundhog Day, because I did it again, this time with my computer science exam, with the same predictable results. 30 years later, I can still hear the ringing in my ears, my parents shouting, "How on earth could you not remember that?" It turns out that remembering important stuff can be difficult. It turns out that for even really important stuff, we need reminding. And that's exactly what Peter is doing in these verses. Remembering, reminding, refreshing our memories, verses 12 to 15 tell us. Except Peter's telling us to remember things even more important than A-level exam dates. Instead, Peter is telling us that if we're Christians here this evening, we need to remember to keep striving to live a godly life. And he gives us a big reason why, because that instruction to keep striving to live a godly life, well, it comes from God himself. He's saying that instruction, which we looked at together last week, along with the whole gospel we've heard from him and the other apostles and the Old Testament prophets that stands alongside it, well, it's not just the words of man. No, it came from God himself. And because it came from God himself, we need to keep believing what Peter, the other apostles, and the Old Testament prophets say, and reject the alternatives that come across our desk every day. If we're Christians here this evening, that's what we need to do. It's remember and reject. Remember the gospel we've heard from the apostles and the prophets came from God himself, and reject anything that goes against what the prophets and the apostles teach. And if you're here this evening and you're not yet following Jesus, well, maybe this is one of the reasons why. Perhaps you've got doubts about this Bible that we hold. Maybe it's really the Word of God. And if so, whether it can really be relied upon and trusted. Well, if that's you, I hope that God's words to us through Peter are really helpful in explaining why we should believe what he's telling us rather than what the false teachers around us tell us. And so why we should put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, and so receive a rich welcome into his kingdom both now and for eternity. To put just a bit of context around this, Peter's written these verses because he's worried. So he's worried about the false teachers that have popped up in first century Asia Minor, and they're telling Christians that God says they can live how they like. We'll hear more about that next week. He's also worried about the culture that surrounds these first century Christians, saying, well, if Jesus is coming back, he's taking a heck of a long time about it. Are you sure he's really coming back? Read through, he's not really coming back. And the reason Peter's worried about these things is because if Christians start to believe the false teachers, or they start to believe the world around them, then their Christian lives will go to the dogs. So all the things he talked about a few verses earlier, so goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, affection, love. Well, if God can say, I can basically live how I like, and if Jesus isn't really coming back, well, then I'll bin all that quite difficult sounding stuff and just live in the moment. And Peter's worried about that because if Christians stop living how God tells us to live, if our lifestyles paint a picture of people who've given up on Jesus coming back, then what kind of reception will we get from Jesus when he does come back? You know, will it be the rich welcome to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Peter mentions just a verse earlier. I mean, don't misunderstand me. He's not suddenly teaching salvation by works, that we need to do certain things alongside putting our trust in Jesus in order to somehow win a place in God's heaven. But Peter is teaching that Christians living the way that God's told us to live, well, it stops us being ineffective and unproductive. It prevents us being nearsighted and blind. And it gives us great comfort and assurance as the lives that we live grow closer bit by bit to that gospel we proclaim. That's why Peter's worried. So worried, in fact, that he was determined to always remind them of these things, verse 12. Dedicating his last days before the Romans give him the chop to refreshing their memories, verse 13. Making every effort that once he's died, it will be imprinted on the inside of their eyelids, tattooed at the forefront of their mind, verse 15, my paraphrasing. And just in case they were tempted to put Peter's exhortation somewhere on a very long to-do list, he hits them with the clincher in verses 16 to 21. He says, don't do this because I'm Peter and I'm a nice bloke. He says, no, do this because the instruction to live a godly life, and in fact the whole gospel about Jesus that surrounds that instruction, well, it came from God himself. And that leads us to our first point this evening. The gospel proclaimed by the apostles, well, it came from God himself. Take a look down at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. In other words, Peter's saying that he and some of the other apostles, well, they were given a glimpse of the future. So, of course, look, they'd spent 3 years watching Jesus do quite remarkable things. So healing the sick, raising the dead, driving out evil spirits, showing compassion to those the world rejected, teaching about God with the authority of someone who is God. They saw Jesus do all of these remarkable things, and that was Jesus fully human, fully divine, and fully on display for anyone who wanted to see him. But what Peter's talking about here is something different. He and James and John saw Jesus with the veil removed. They got a glimpse of his full glory. And there he's talking about the transfiguration that we get described to us in Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, Matthew tells us. His clothes became as white as light. What they got a glimpse of was the future. Jesus in his future glory once he'd returned to heaven. In fact, they got a glimpse of what Jesus looks like today, right now, as he sits on his throne in heaven. And they didn't just see it, they also heard it. Take a look at verse 17. The voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So you should believe our testimony about Jesus, Peter says, because God himself revealed it to us. The power and glory of Jesus wasn't something the apostles made up, which is exactly what the false teachers around them were saying. It wasn't even something they just saw alongside the rest of the region in the remarkable things that Jesus did in his full humanity and full divinity. No, they also had a glimpse of the future, a window into Jesus' full glory that one day the rest of the world would see when Jesus returns. Well, I went to go and see The Devil Wears Prada 2 a couple of weeks ago. The cinema was quite full, and there was at least one other man in there, so I was in good company. And it wasn't a bad film. If you like the first one, I think you'll probably like the second. But the issue with it was that if you'd seen the trailer, you'd basically seen the movie. Because the trailer didn't just give you a glimpse of the movie. It essentially gave you the full movie in about a minute and 30 seconds. And so you could have saved 2 hours and $14.99, and the embarrassment of being only the second man in the cinema, because the trailer told you all you needed to know. Well, be encouraged. What Peter, James, and John saw on that mountain was not like that. What they saw was a movie trailer as it's supposed to be, where you see just a glimpse of the film, and even though it's a fantastic glimpse, you know the full movie is going to be a million times better. The trailer doesn't spoil the film. It actually captivates you. It makes you want to see the film right now. It makes you stress that you've got to wait a month or something for it to come out. The trailer is so good, you can't wait to see the rest. And that's the reason that Peter and the other apostles are so serious about the original readers of this letter and us remembering the gospel they proclaimed. Well, it's because they've seen the trailer. They know how glorious the full movie is going to be. They were all imprisoned or killed for refusing to forget the trailer and going back to life before they'd seen it. And so their message to us is simple. Keep believing what we've told you. Reject what false teachers tell you about God and how he's fine for you to live how you like. Reject what the world around you tells you about Jesus never coming back. We've given you the true gospel about Jesus, Peter says. We've had a glimpse of Jesus' full glory, which we'll all see when he returns. So in the infamous words of Journey, don't stop believing. And that's true whether you're a Christian here this evening, or whether you're here just looking into the Christian faith. Start or keep believing what we've told you, Peter says, because the gospel proclaimed by Peter and the apostles came from God himself. But it's not just the apostles who heard the gospel from God himself. So did the prophets before them. And that's our second point. The gospel proclaimed by the prophets came from God himself. Take a look at verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, Peter is saying that the Old Testament prophets spoke and wrote the very words of God. If you rewind for a moment before Jesus walked the earth, God spoke to people by speaking to his prophets, telling them about the future, and then they told people what he'd said. So, for example, Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, a prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. So God spoke to Malachi about the future, and he did that so Malachi could tell his people Israel what he'd said. And that wasn't just true for Malachi. It was also true for Moses and Samuel and Nehemiah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and so on. So what Peter's doing here is making it crystal clear that the prophets didn't imagine what they wrote down or make it up. They didn't wish something was true and so dream it up. They weren't involved in the game of Chinese whispers, where somewhere down the line they wrote down the most recent version of the truth. They didn't get the bare bones from God and then have to fill in the blanks based on their own best estimates. They didn't even wake up one morning after a particularly good night's sleep and say, you know what, I'm going to write some prophecies today. No, these prophets, each with different backgrounds and giftings and challenges and family trees, received the words of God, empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote down what they saw and heard. Now look, it's worth remembering that, by and large, God's words didn't make the prophets very popular. So take Jeremiah. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm too young. Nice try. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. And don't be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. I mean, it doesn't sound like Jeremiah's message is going to be welcomed with open arms, does it? Or Isaiah. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And he said, well, go and tell this people, be ever hearing and never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make the ears dull and close their eyes. And I said, well, for how long, Lord? And he said, oh, until the cities lie ruined. How good, Isaiah must have thought. With a message like that, I'm going to be winning all sorts of popularity contests. And look, as we think about Old Testament prophecies, it's worth remembering that God's words did not make them popular, because it adds weight to the fact that we can trust what they tell us. You know, that plus the fact that all of the hundreds of prophecies they made over periods of hundreds of years about the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus all came true as well. So, you know, that helps. But because we can trust what they say, we should do what Peter tells us in verse 19, which is pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In other words, we should treat the Old Testament like the torch you come across in your glove compartment when your car has broken down on a country road at midnight and your phone battery has died. You cling on to it for dear life. Or in this case, we keep reading and believing the Old Testament scriptures, even when they can sometimes be a bit tricky to understand or a bit tricky to directly apply to our 21st century lives. And look, we do that until Jesus returns. I think that's what the until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart means. So it's not a once and done thing. We keep reading what the prophets wrote. We keep working at understanding it, and we keep wrestling with how we need to change our thoughts and actions as a result, asking the Lord for the power and inspiration of his Holy Spirit to help us do so. And look, as we think about the gospel proclaimed by the apostles and by the prophets as coming from God himself, it's just worth reflecting for a moment on how blessed we are sitting here in the 21st century holding that gospel in our hands. I mean, the prophets had the blessing of the words and the presence of the Spirit of God, but they never saw most of their prophecies fulfilled. So, for example, Isaiah could prophesy about Jesus' birth, his death, his offer of salvation, his future return to judge, but he never saw any of it come to pass. And the apostles, well, they had the prophets' writings, and most of them did see Jesus in the flesh in his 3 years of ministry, seeing much of what the prophets wrote fulfilled in his birth, life, death, and resurrection. But they didn't have the full canon of Scripture nicely packaged up for them, because they were each busy writing bits of it, with many of them killed before it was finished. And of course, the original first century readers of this letter were in the same boat. They had some of the New Testament, but many of them would never have it all. And neither the prophets, the apostles, or the original readers of this letter ever saw the church that they prophesied about, or planted, or an early part of, explode to reach the scale anything like the church of today. But what about us? Well, we've got all the prophets' writings and the benefit of seeing so many of those prophecies coming true. We've got all the apostles' writings and we've got them nicely packaged up for us. And the icing on the cake is that we have 2,000 years of church history and growth, with billions of people having believed the testimony of Peter, the other apostles and the prophets, and living changed lives as a result, with each new Christian providing even greater evidence of the power of God to offer salvation for all who believe. When it comes to having the full gospel proclaimed by the apostles and the prophets available to us, with all the benefits that brings, well, we really are the most blessed people in all of history. And so no wonder Peter tells us to keep believing it. I mean, what excuse do we have for not believing it? I mean, if you're here this evening and perhaps you're just looking into the Christian faith, I mean, can I ask you, what is it about the Bible that you think isn't true? Or if you think, yeah, it probably is true, what's stopping you opening it and reading it to learn more about the God who made you and loves you enough to send his only son into this world to die a death on your behalf, so that if you put your trust in him, you can be at peace with your creator? Why wouldn't you spend some time looking at that this week? And for those of us who've already done that, who put our trust in Jesus already, our job, if you like, is, well, it's to remember that the gospel we've heard from the apostles and the prophets came from God himself. It's to rededicate ourselves to reminding each other to keep believing, because it turns out, just like A-level exam dates, we can find things very easy to forget. And then we reject all of the alternatives, whether it's false teachers telling us that God says it's fine for us to live how we like, or whether it's the world around us telling us that Jesus is never coming back. Just kick those lies into touch. And as we do that, we can do it with the complete confidence that the message we're believing, the message we're hanging our entire futures on, well, it rests on the solid rock of both the apostles' and prophets' testimony, which came from God himself. Let's take a moment and then we'll move on in the service.
What a blessing to hold this gospel in our hands. Thank you so much for that reminder, Tim. We're going to use the next two songs to help us remember this gospel and reject anything else that competes with it. When the music begins, we will stand and we'll sing.
Please stand if you're able.
A light unto my path. For your word is my hope, it's my joy and my song. Your word endures forever.
Your word transforms, it lifts the humble, rebukes the proud,
protects the poor.
Your word is
a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. For your word is my hope, it's my joy and my song. Your word endures forever.
Your word is more than just letters on pages. It's life and it's love and it's freedom for us.
Your word is more than just wisdom of ages.
Its treasures are
endless. It's always enough. Your word is more than just stories of old. It's the truth.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path.
Mine are days that God has numbered. I was made to walk with Him. Yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. But mine is hope in my Redeemer. Though I fall, His love is sure, for Christ has paid for every failing. I am His forevermore. Mine are tears in times of sorrow, darkness not yet
Shine our days here as a stranger, pilgrim on a narrow way. One with Christ I will encounter, harm and hatred for his name. But mine is armor for this battle, strong enough to last the war. And he has said he will deliver safely to the golden shore. And mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the King I walk. And there my heart has found its treasure, Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. And mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the King I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure, Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore.
Amen. Let's take our seats. It's been so good to hear from God's word today. And do please continue conversations about what we've heard over refreshments. Refreshments will be served at the back. It'd be great to spend time with you all. But let me finish with words from the end of 2 Peter. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.